Well, what the hell happened? I go away for 3 months and all hell breaks loose. The world goes crazy. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. For the rest of the week, we're glad you're with us. We are broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Yes, 3 months ago, I was down there in Dallas. Everything was fine. I was sitting in for Malloy. Democrats had passed, what did they pass? The Senate. Democrats had passed health care. Everybody was talking about, oh, there's going to be a public option. Everything's going to work out just fine. And now it's crazy town. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Crazy Town. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, raking muck all night long here for the next 3 hours. Hope you'll join us. Stay with us. Got a big show ahead for you. And by the way, I should add, you can stop by the chat room over at BradBlog.com. That's right. See, we're a little shorthanded here, but we're going to get caught up here, right? It's always like that on the first day. So we got a chat room going on at bradblog.com. You can tweet me. You can tweet your questions, at least until our call screener shows up. You can tweet me at TheBradBlog. I'll try to keep an eye on you there. And let's see, what else do I have to tell you business-wise? Well, I think that's almost it. And like I say, I am manning the chat room by myself here for the moment, even while we do the radio. So bear with me if I'm behind in there, but I'm going to get caught up, and we're going to get some help here shortly. But that's what you get from Progressive Radio. You're lucky to have it, people. You're lucky to have it. And that's what we're going to be talking about quite a bit tonight. We're also going to be talking about pimps, phony pimps. Yes, we're going to be calling folks out here tonight. And no, not just the lying liars that are James O'Keefe, the phony pimp who should be in jail, and his fake prostitute, Hannah Giles, who should be in jail. Because guess what? As the Attorney General of California, Jerry Brown, found, both of them most likely broke the law here in California when they secretly taped Acorn workers, these low-level Acorn workers, with their secret cameras. Never mind how they edited those videos, or severely edited those videos, as Attorney General Jerry Brown out here in California said last week, or as the Brooklyn DA said a couple of weeks ago, that it was a highly edited splice job. Yeah, it was. And we know they're bad guys. And we know Andrew Breitbart, the, I got to remember what kind of language I can use here, the nice fellow who runs this biggovernment.com, used these fake videos to launch his website. And they were fake. And what he did was journalistic malpractice by publishing these videos, these phony videos. And you know what? You may not know they were phony. Why? Because nobody was reporting it. I have been jumping up and down, yelling and screaming, my hair on fire, trying to get the New York Times, the paper of record, to correct the record for months now. They finally sort of kind of did. I'm going to give you a lot of the backstory on that, tell you what really happened, what went on behind the scenes. Folks who watched Rachel Maddow last night may know now that they were fake, because she finally played some of the videos, the unedited videos, which were finally released because O'Keefe and Giles wanted to stay out of jail. And Jerry Brown, the attorney general out here in California, gave them immunity from criminal prosecution if they would turn over the unedited videotapes, the ones they wouldn't release for some odd reason for the past 6 months since they put out this hit. And it was a hit on Acorn. Unfortunately, it worked. Or did it? We are going to be finding out later on in the show from Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, the chief organizer. She is going to be joining us. Yes, we're going to do what the New York Times didn't do and find out what the truth is. Well, there's an idea, isn't it? Find out what the truth is. Okay. Well, we're going to go straight to the source. That would be Bertha Lewis in our next hour. I'm going to talk to you about what really happened at the New York Times. I'm going to tell you what this means. And no, it's not, by the way, it's not about Acorn. It's never been about Acorn. It's been about the media. It's been about democracy. And that whole attack on Acorn by the right wing that folks need to pay attention to, and yes, I'm talking about you, you Democrats, you liberals, you progressives, you folks in the progressive media, this is the stuff you need to be paying attention to. Not crazy land out there, not Michelle Bachmann, not Glenn Beck, not Rush Limbaugh, not the loons. Yeah, we know they're loons, and somebody's got to, you know, correct the record when they, you know, go out there and they lie and they do their nonsense. But what we got to focus on is the truth. What we got to focus on is the things that are really killing us, like those folks who have an assault out, a hit out on democracy, on our Constitution, because that's what the Acorn scam was. And yes, it was a scam. And now we all know that. Well, now I know that, but I don't know who else knows it, because the media still isn't reporting what's going on. The New York Times did correct a little bit of the record, finally, after 2 months, but that's about it. They still got all kinds of phony information out there. Papers are still misreporting this story. Want to get to, and I'll give you the phone number in a little bit, because I want to take your calls tonight. Remember, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them, and you may just do exactly that. You may just lose them. But let me give you a couple of quick stories just to set up how insane this world has now become. Both of these come from our friends over at Media Matters. The first one comes from Eric Bullard. This was last week. He writes, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't read it with my own eyes. Here's the Politico headline. Liberal group march meets pushback. So, says Eric Bullard, pretty simple, right? A group of progressive marched in protest of something and were met by a group of conservatives who pushed back. He says, I guess that's kind of interesting, but honestly, when groups hold political marches, the other side almost always tries to counter the event and is almost always outnumbered. But perhaps in this instance, there was a reason why Politico decided the, quote, pushback was the key. Well, not quite, writes Bullard. Instead, here's the lead from Politico. A handful of liberal groups, but only a few dozen protesters, marched on the Republican National Committee office Thursday to denounce the threats against members of Congress during the healthcare vote. But in an oddly Washington moment, the gathering of MoveOn.org, Color of Change, and Credo was met by Jordan Marks, a 28-year-old conservative activist who interrupted the event and held up signs accusing the group of race baiting. Okay, that's it. And as Bullard writes, that's right, the pushback came in the form of one guy. One guy showed up, and Politico made that guy the news. In fact, guess who the only person quoted in the story was, says Bullard. Yep, that guy. That became news. It's fake news. Moving on, Jameson Fowser. Now here's where it really gets important, because now we're talking about the New York Times, not just the liars and cowards and dopes over at Politico. But here's New York Times, the paper of record. After 2.5 years of prodding, Jameson Fowser notes, New York Times finally corrects 75% of a false Tyson loan claim. This story goes back to 1994, and the New York Times had reported on $9 million in loans that were supposedly approved by the Clintons back when they were in Arkansas. And there's one article after another that were still, until maybe today, that were still on the New York Times website that were completely wrong. Jameson Fowser pointed this out 2.5 years ago, and he's been trying to get them to correct the record. At some point, they actually recently said, we were wrong on that. But they left the story sitting up there. They left it up there wrong for researchers to look at. When I say researchers, of course, I mean Fox News, you know, to go out and get something and then say, even the liberal New York Times says that the Clintons, whatever nonsense they do. It took 2.5 years for Jameson Fowser to get a correction from the New York Times, the paper of record. My God, how long is it going to take me, your little old friendly citizen blogger at the Brad Blog, to get a correction, a proper correction from the New York Times and from all of these other papers who, got the story wrong, and in the bargain ended up killing a four-decade-old anti-poverty community organization who helped 400,000 member families in at least 75 cities. And remember, they were going after democracy. And this time, they had the New York Times, AP, Dallas Morning News, Baltimore Sun, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. They had all of them to help. How are we going to unwind this journalistic malpractice? You are going to help me. We are going to talk about that over the next hour, two, three, whatever we feel like. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead, the inside skinny on the Acorn pimp hoax and the liars and those who covered up for them at the New York Times. Straight ahead. Good choice, Tony. Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike all night long, live from Los Angeles, California. We're here all week long. Hope you can join us. Glad you have joined us so far. Stop by our chat room, if you like, over at bradblog.com. We're getting help on the way to let folks in to unmoderate folks and everything else. I'm trying to do everything because we're running behind here, as we tend to do. So forgive us. You can also tweet your thoughts and questions to me at the Brad Blog. Just the Brad Blog. Tweet them over and we'll try to bring them in, and then we will be taking your calls shortly. Write down the number, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150, not Malloy's normal number. But don't call yet, because we're waiting for our screener, too. See? That's what it's like. All right, so here's what happened with the Acorn thing, and we're going to talk about this in the hour ahead. Bertha Lewis from Acorn is going to join us in the next hour. Going to try to give her the tough questions. Hope you will do the same. Back in, September of last year, the New York Times started misreporting this story. They started writing, Scott Shane back in September 15th of last year. He talked about O'Keefe, James O'Keefe, the right-wing liar, visiting Acorn offices dressed so outlandishly that he might have been playing in a risque high school play. Wrong. What else did they write here? They talked about him traveling in the gaudy guise of a pimp. They did this over and over and over and over again. And up in January, after James O'Keefe was arrested down in New Orleans, trying to bug the senator's, Senator Landrieu's, not trying to bug, trying to access her phones. In fact, we don't know what he was trying to do. He might have been trying to bug it. Who knows? At that point, the New York Times ran yet another article, the dozenth or more in their series, and they said Mr. O'Keefe made his biggest national splash last year when he dressed up as a pimp and trained his secret camera on counselors with the liberal community group Acorn. Problem was, he never dressed up as a pimp. And this was January 31, the New York Times was reporting this. Mind you, this was a full two months, after the Massachusetts Attorney General, Scott Harshbarger, released a report and said quite clearly, and I quote, "Although Mr. O'Keefe appeared in all videos dressed as a pimp, in fact, when he appeared at each and every office, he was dressed like a college student in slacks and a button-down shirt." That was December 7th, 2009, that came out 2 months earlier. Mind you, at this point, Acorn had been had legislation against them to defund them in Congress, and it passed. And the Democrats, who have some splaining to do and some apologies to make, passed this legislation. Obama signed this legislation, and it was all built on a hoax. and the New York Times helped them along. It's just absolutely incredible. They never mentioned the Scott Harshbarger report until, about 2 weeks ago, after I began haranguing them for two. Actually, it wasn't me. It was a reader at Bradblog, who took the initiative to contact the Times and demand a correction. And it started off this chain of events. And what the responses from the senior editor for Standards at New York Times, a fellow by the name of Greg Brock, who says he's responsible for corrections at the paper. His responses and the reason that he gave for refusing to correct the record until he just had no more choice. He had to correct the record. The reason that he gave, I'll play you that after the break here at the bottom of the hour. You're not going to believe it. Unless you've already read the story at Bradblog, and if you have, I'm sorry, but this needs to go out, because even the progressive media has not been telling this story, and it needs to be told. Again, not about Acorn, but about the failure of the New York Times and the rest of the media. And if they are not called on the carpet, if there is no accountability, there will be another phony Acorn pimp hoax, and there will be another Bill Clinton impeachment, and there will be another election 2000 and 2004 where nobody bothers to count the votes. And there will be another hit job on Van Jones, and another hit job on Dan Rather, and all the rest. It's about accountability. We're going to talk about accountability and the New York Times and the lack thereof, and we're going to make this happen one way or another with your help. I'm Brad, in for Malloy. Much more. Stay with us. Well done, white people's, old white people's rock and roll all night long here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Glad to be here. Glad to have you with us. And, of course, my Firefox just crashed. So if you're chatting over there at bradblog.com, say hello to Jeannie Dean for me. I think she's finally moderating, but we'll find out. And I'm told Desi is in the house, and we'll be screening your calls at 877-520-1150. That is the special number tonight, 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me once Firefox reboots. Is yours crashing all the time too, Tony? It's been crashing all the time. All right. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog. Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, is going to join us in the next hour. They have been, as you probably have heard, put out of business by this phony, fake pimp hoax that was enabled by the paper of record, the New York Times. And AP and all the rest. And they still have not corrected the record, despite the fact that just last week, once again, our fourth official report clearing Acorn of any wrongdoing in any of these video tapes, Attorney General of California said that there were no violations of crimes committed in any of those Acorn offices by those low-level Acorn workers, who were set up by O'Keefe, by Giles, by Andrew Breitbart, all of whom edited these tapes to show something other than what actually happened. No, James O'Keefe never wore his pimp outfit. No, he never told the workers he was a pimp. In fact, he told the workers that he was trying to save Hannah Giles, who did play a prostitute, that he was trying to save her from an abusive pimp who was stalking her and trying to kill her. And he was trying to get her into a house, a safe house. He was trying to save these underage girls from being raped by this fake pimp, the one that they were trying to get him. He was dressed in slacks, a button-down shirt. And, of course, we knew this information. We would have known this information had anybody bothered at the New York Times to look into the matter. You could actually see some few short frames in the video showing him walking in a shirt and slacks. No, not as the 70s era superfly blaxploitation pimp. No, he wasn't Huggy Bear. But gosh, aren't those Acorn people stupid that they couldn't tell that the skinny little 25-year-old white kid wasn't really Huggy Bear? Well, of course they couldn't tell that because he was never dressed that way. Because it was a scam. Now, the New York Times should have known it was a scam. They should have asked more questions, but they didn't. And the day after they first reported that O'Keefe visited Acorn offices dressed so outlandishly he might have been playing in a risque high school play, the day after that, the Democrats, to their eternal shame, voted to defund Acorn from the pittance they receive in federal tax dollars, and I mean pittance, $3.5 million a year on average for the past 15 years. Of course, there's more fraud, actual child prostitution rings allegedly going on by companies like Blackwater, now calling themselves Z. You got two court cases now with high-level employees charging that they were running the prostitution rings out of the green zone in Baghdad. These are in court with apparently evidence, real evidence, not this phony stuff that was made up and reported, misreported over and again by the New York Times. Okay, so I'm, you know, trying to get the word out about this story 2 months ago, at least, that the whole thing was a hoax. And so a reader sends a letter to the Times, demands a correction. He hears back from the New York Times senior editor for standards, Greg Brock. He's been there since 1995, and you wonder how this paper is such a disaster. He's been there since 1995, and he writes back to the reader, and he says, well, our article included that description of O'Keefe as a pimp because Mr. O'Keefe himself explained how he was dressed and appeared on a live Fox show wearing what he said was the same exact costume he wore to Acorn offices. He then gave me the link to that Fox appearance. Here it is.
I'm sure you've been seeing some of the videos from BigGovernment.com and also that we've been running here on Fox News showing these Acorn employees in first in Baltimore and also in Washington and now in Brooklyn, New York. These videos were put together by filmmaker James O'Keefe, who's joining us on the couch. He's dressed exactly in the same outfit that he wore to these Acorn offices up and down the Eastern Seaboard. This is what you think a pimp looks like.
I guess it's the stereotypical pimp costume that comes to mind.
Yeah, it comes to mind to you, doesn't it? Because, well, you think black people suck too much out of the government and whatever it is you think, James O'Keefe. Okay, fine. We expect you to be a jackass. We don't expect the New York Times senior editor for standards to say that our article included that description because Mr. O'Keefe himself explained how he was dressed, appeared on a live Fox show wearing what he said was the same exact costume he wore to the Acorn offices. And gave me that link to that clip. Brock went on to say, if there is a correction to be made, it seems it would start with Mr. O'Keefe himself. Mind you, I'm quoting here. Brock goes on to say, we believe him. Therefore, there is nothing for us to correct. We believe him. He said he dressed as a pimp. So we believe him. And we're going to report it in the paper of record. Time and time and time again. And we're going to destroy the four-decade-old anti-poverty community group who does stuff like, oh, help Katrina victims. Help people get their first house. Help people vote, participate in their own democracy, and of course, that is why they were targeted by the GOP. Because they helped hundreds and thousands of legal Americans to legally vote in their own democracy. No, there is not a single instance, not one, not a single instance, zero, nada, not one instance of voter fraud committed vis-a-vis an improper registration by an Acorn worker. Not one. At least no evidence. I haven't seen it. Let's see it. You got some Fox News? You got some wing nuts? James O'Keefe? Andy Breitbart? All you liars out there who want to undermine democracy by telling people that Acorn is committing voter fraud when they haven't? Well, they've been destroyed, so what does it matter now, right? Well, maybe they haven't been destroyed. We're going to be talking to Bertha Lewis in the next hour. Are they really destroyed? We will find out. Maybe we'll make some news. We'll see. Anyway, so the New York Times, they refused to correct. And the reader shares that information with me, and I jump in and Greg Brock writes back to him after the reader says, here's what the former Massachusetts Attorney General said. He never dressed that way. And the senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock, writes back, and he says, well, we have, there's tapes here. You can see part of him wearing this pimp costume. And besides, some of the people who work at Acorn described the costume. Oh, really? Did they? And that's when I jumped in, and I said, really, Mr. Brock, did they? Now, all of these emails, you can read the entire trail, because I believe in transparency. All these emails are over at bradblog.com. You can read the exchanges with myself and senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock. And I said, well, can I see that videotape? Can I read that interview where the Acorn employees are saying that they're describing the costume? Well, then he starts making excuses. This is when the cover-up begins. He starts telling me, I didn't say that, you know, our reporters, they look at a lot of videos. Not all of them are released. Really? This one's not released? Okay. And then he said, well, those interviews with Acorn employees where they described the costume he was wearing, I didn't say we got those interviews. Really? Who got them, Greg? Where are those interviews? Where is that information? He was covering up. And by the way, he still has a job. He's still there. At that point, I brought in Clark Hoyt, the public editor. He's supposed to be the reader's representative, the ombudsman. And I showed him all of these emails from Greg Brock, and I said, what the hell is going on here? And he says, one of the reports the reader had complained about was the one from January where Jim Rutenberg in the New York Times had reported, Mr. O'Keefe made his biggest national splash last year when he dressed up as a pimp and trained a secret camera on counselors with the liberal community group Acorn. Of course, he never did that. That was a lie. But Jim Rutenberg, the New York Times paper of record, they reported it as such. Well, Clark Hoyt came back to me with three reasons why no correction was needed. And that wasn't the only story they got wrong. They got dozens of them wrong. But here's what he referred to that one. And he said, he gave me three reasons. The first reason, the story says, O'Keefe, this is a quote from Clark Hoyt, public editor. The story says, O'Keefe dressed up as a pimp and trained his hidden camera on Acorn counselors. It does not say he did those two things at the same time. Okay? Letting that sink in there. That's why he dressed up as a pimp, yes. He trained his hidden camera on Acorn counselors, yes. Both of those things are true. He just didn't do them at the same time, and we never said he did. Yeah, you did. That earned Clark Hoyt a depiction as a weasel in a Tom Tomorrow cartoon. Very happy about that. He went on to point to someone, Ismini Speliotis, who described to the reporter Jim Rutenberg, the costume that he was wearing and so on and so forth. So I had never heard of this. Ismini Speliotis, I contacted Acorn, did what, I don't know, New York Times should have done. And I said, can I talk to Ismini Speliotis? And they put me in touch with her, and she said, guess what? I wasn't there that day. I never saw these people. Why are they quoting me? The only time, this is a direct quote, the only time I ever saw these folks was from the video. That was the second excuse. The third excuse, that I'm speaking fast, because we're coming up to a break. Third excuse was the idea that you could see him in one of the videos dressed as a pimp. Really? Could you? Where? When? What video? Well, Clark Hoyt told me, if you go to the 612 mark of the D.C. video, you can see O'Keefe walking out of one of the offices. You can see his reflection in a plate glass mirror, in a plate glass window next to the office. And then the camera jostles, and you can maybe, I think, see part of his costume. Really, can you? Well, guess what I did? Downloaded the video, did a screen-by-screen, frame-by-frame screen grab of every single frame where he told me at the 612 mark. And guess what? No, James O'Keefe, you can see his white shirt, but you can see no black hat. No black fedora, black suit, black jacket, walking stick, sunglasses, and a chinchilla fur cape, which he was wearing, apparently, because I looked it up, on that day in July, last year, July 25, in Washington, D.C., chinchilla fur coat. It was 93 degrees that day, and guess what? When he went into the Acorn office, we see the Acorn office woman introduce him as a Georgetown Law School student. She didn't blink an eye, though it was 93 degrees, and he was wearing a chinchilla fur coat. The entire thing was a lie. And yet, Clark Hoyt says no correction was necessary. Well, that changed a couple weeks ago. He did make a correction, a partial one. We'll talk about that much more straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy, telling the truth for a change. We'll be right back.
In the summer with a teenage diplomat in the dumps with a there's something happening here.
Yeah, it is.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
No, it's not, but I'm going to help you clarify.
There's
it
a man with a gun over there.
Uh-oh. Like I don't have enough problems. Welcome back to the Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Finally getting your attention, I hope. We got Rachel Maddow's last night, finally. She ran clips from the unedited Acorn videos, which O'Keefe and Giles and Breitbart finally had to turn over to the California Attorney General to avoid criminal prosecution because, yes, it is illegal to secretly tape these people out here as they did in California. It's also illegal in Maryland. It's also illegal in Pennsylvania. We're going to be talking to Bertha Lewis in the next hour and ask why there has not been more accountability from her group, from Acorn, for those people who did apparently break the law. And why it is, by the way, that Jerry Brown gave immunity from criminal prosecution instead of just subpoenaing the tapes. The ones that these fakers, these phonies, who'd never dressed as a pimp, who never represented himself as a pimp, that they wouldn't turn over. Okay, before I run out of time here, please write this down. Here's an email address. This only changes once you change it. You folks over there, truth seekers over at DU, folks in the Brad Blog chat room, folks out there on Twitter, you can get us at the Brad Blog. But here's what you got to write down. executive-editor@nytimes.com. That's executive-editor@nytimes.com and managing-editor@nytimes.com. Send them a note. Ask them to correct the record once and for all. When they reported that he clearly represented himself as a pimp. Now, mind you, they finally made a correction, and I didn't have time to get into that, but they finally made a correction saying, well, he didn't dress as a pimp, but he still posed as a pimp. Nope. No, he didn't. Executive-editor@nytimes.com, managing-editor@nytimes.com. You people, please take this into your hands. Please do something about this. I promise the right-wingers, when they get ticked off, when they are aggrieved, they raise holy hell and they get action when they do. If you guys raise some hell, we'd get some action. Because what this is about is craziness. It's not about reality. It's not about truth. It's about another hoax. Rachel Maddow put it well last week. Here's an extended clip from what she had to say last week about how crazy this has all become.
What we're dealing with here is the unmooring of politics from facts. The activists pushing the Acorn scandal knew it was fake. After all, they faked it. But it made a political impact anyway, so they win, right? The ClimateGate scandal, not an actual challenge to the homogenous consensus of decades of climate science, but it could have a political impact, so go for it. It might work. It's the triumph of fake politics, outrage or advantage gleaned from stuff that's not real. And who cares if it's not real, if it has a political impact? The anti-Acorn crusade was bull. ClimateGate was bull. Repealing health reform is bull. The lawsuits against health reform are bull. The death panels, bull. The president's secretly foreign and doesn't have a birth certificate? Bull. Fear of the census is bull. Supposed threats to end the Second Amendment? Bull. The claim that thousands of armed IRS agents are going to be stormtroopers to enforce health reform. It's bull. The administration taking away the right to go fishing? It's bull. Scott Brown saying I'm running against him is even bull. It's made up. It's bull. It's bull. It's not real politics. Let them eat fake. These are not real problems to worry about and work on as a country, right? But there's more bang for the political buck to make stuff up like this than to try to debate real problems in the real world. So just go with the bull. Dissent is not the aberration in a democracy. Dissent is the norm. Our political vitality depends on dissent. No one expects that a president is going to have the whole country agree with his actions and his priorities. Nobody expects Americans to share the same political opinions. But has there ever been a time when we shared so few political facts? Let's argue. Let's have the great American debate about the role of government and the best policies for the country. It's fun. It's citizenship. It's activism. It makes the country better when we have those debates. And your country needs you. It needs all of us. But two things disqualify you from this process. You can't threaten to shoot people, and you have to stop making stuff up.
The triumph of fake politics. It ends here. It ends now. I need your help. Bertha Lewis from Acorn joins me after this break. Send us your questions. Twitter them to The Brad Blog. You're listening to Brad on the Molloy Program. Stay with us. Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to the Mike Molloy Program. Brad Friedman in for a vacationing Mike. Mike and Kathy, who are out spring breaking it this week. I heard something about Fort Lauderdale, Jello shots, wet t-shirt contests. I don't know, but Mike will be back with you next Monday. Until then, you've got me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Burbank as the sun sets on the West Coast. And as we put you, I was going to say put you to sleep on the East Coast. No, no. Put you to bed? Go to bed with you? I don't know. Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, is going to be joining us momentarily. But I want to make sure that folks got those email addresses and that folks used those email addresses. Change starts with you. And after this witch hunt against Acorn, after they were put out of business, or were they? We're going to find that out when we talk to Bertha in a moment. They were, you know, put out. This was a hit job, not just a high-tech lynching, but a media-enabled lynching by the New York Times, the paper of record, and all the rest who went along with this hoax, this phony pimp hoax that was not what you saw in those highly edited, severely edited tapes. It was a hatchet job. It was meant to take them down, and I would argue because they had the temerity to register hundreds and thousands of low and middle-income Americans to participate legally in their own democracy. So, the New York Times, you need to get in touch with Bill Keller, the executive editor, and ask him to do the right thing, correct the record, retract, put out apologies, and investigate what happened so that it doesn't happen again. That's the key. Whether it's Acorn or any other group, this kind of stuff cannot happen again. Bill Keller, the executive editor, is executive-editor at nytimes.com. That's executive-editor at nytimes.com. Please write him and CC John Geddes, the managing editor, managing-editor at nytimes.com. Managing-editor at nytimes.com. Be polite. But ask them to do the right thing once and for all. A correction, a retraction, an apology to their readers and to Acorn. and an investigation and explanation as to how this happened and what they're going to do to assure it doesn't happen again, because you can bet your bottom dollar, unless there is accountability, and it was, make no mistake, a cover-up at the New York Times by the senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock, facilitated as well by the public editor, Clark Hoyt. You can read all about it at bradblog.com. You can read the actual unedited emails at bradblog.com. It's all there. So, how did this happen? Why did this happen? We're going to find out here momentarily. We're going to speak to Bertha Lewis. Our phone number, by the way, and I've kept the third hour here after this, all open for your calls. So I'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. It's not the Malloy's normal number, so write it down. 877-520-1150. And you can also tweet us at the Brad Blog, and I will do my best to keep an eye on it. And if you have any questions for Bertha Lewis, bring them on in. Okay, well, we are going to be, here we go. We're going to be joined here now by Bertha Lewis. She is, of course, the CEO and chief organizer of the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, otherwise known as ACORN, a position she took over. She took over that position in June of 2008. ACORN, of course, was previously, at least, the largest community organization in the country, a four-decade-old anti-poverty organization with some 400,000 member families in 75 cities across the country. Bertha Lewis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Program.
Oh, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. You know, and I've been covering you. I've been covering ACORN for I don't know how many years. I know I've been covering it back trying to, you know, get the news out about the phony voter fraud that the GOP put forward. But you and I have never actually spoken or communicated via email. So I really am delighted to have you here tonight.
Well, I've been reading your stuff. I do read Brad Block, and as I encourage everyone to do. So it's really good. It's a real privilege to be on with you.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, the first question is free. After that, I'll get tough with you. But the first one is free. What did Bertha Lewis tell us? You know, your best 30-second pitch here. What it was that ACORN did, and we're going to talk about what they will do in the future, if anything. But what is it that they did, and what services will be gone if ACORN disappears here?
Well, we organize low and moderate income folks across the country. We fought in neighborhoods and organized folks to take collective action around affordable housing, better schools, better streets, fair and equitable pay in the workplace. And yes, we registered 1.3 million people. We were very successful at it, and we moved those folks to the polls. We also sounded the alarm 10 years ago about predatory lending and the subprime market, and we actually predicted what was going to happen, but of course nobody listened to us back then. And we did provide services for folks like free income tax preparation and lead abatement, and also providing fire extinguishers for low-income folks so that they would have some protection. So we've done many, many things from potholes to the presidency for 40 years.
And also in Katrina, I think you were and continue to be instrumental helping those folks down there, correct?
Absolutely, and making sure that displaced people got back to New Orleans. We did a lot of gutting of houses, stopped homes from being bulldozed, and that work still goes on.
And what do you attribute, you've heard my opinion, but what do you attribute this years-long assault attack by Republicans on a group like, I mean, I think, by the way, what was your yearly operating budget? I think it was $25 million, something like that.
Well, that was in a very good year. spread across, as you said, 400,000 members, 75 cities, with over 600 staff. So when you look at that between dues and foundations and other contributors, that was a buildup of over 40 years, and that would be at our peak. We didn't always operate at that, but sometimes between $10 and $20 million for an organization as big as ours.
That was it, $10 and $20 million. And of that, we're talking about, is that number correct, around the $3.5 million in federal tax dollars averaged over those each of those 15 years?
Well, it's about 15 years, and all of that, all of it, every dime went to provide those services for free tax preparation, for lead abatement, for home safety. You know, we never, ever, 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 in every investigation, we've been exonerated over and over, where it has been shown that we've never used any funds for partisan activities. And all of our voter registration, which never used government funds, were nonpartisan. So this was an attack on an organization that was effective, organizing for people, and that actually annoyed the right for many, many years.
And why? So why do you think they came after you the way that they did, Bertha Lewis?
I think they did because you hit the nail on the head. If we had been a nice little quiet group just providing services and, you know, warm coats in the winter and that kind of thing, we would not have been a threat to them. But we were very effective. When you have a very effective voter registration operation, which was of high quality, the biggest in the country, and you actually organize those folks and move them to the polls in record numbers, and they begin to vote not for personalities, not for parties, but they vote on issues like raising the minimum wage, which we led that fight for 10 years, voting for living wages. You become a real threat because you're effective, you have organized folks, and you dare to actually have the poor participate and have a voice in this democracy.
But what about the voter fraud? We're going to talk about that in a second with Bertha Lewis, CEO of Acorn. Find out the truth about that dastardly voter fraud. So get your facts straight, Bertha. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back with much more. Bertha Lewis, hopefully we'll get to your calls at 877-520-1150. I got a lot of questions, too. So stick with us there, Bertha. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more after this.
There is a season.
Friedman on the Mike Malloy program, speaking with Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, the once and future Acorn. Bertha, we were talking about these the hit job on you guys that announced that forced you to announce that you were shuttering the doors at the local organizations, at least on April 1st, just a few days ago. And we're going to talk about the future of Acorn shortly. But what about these charges of voter fraud, 40-something investigations, Bertha? Where there's smoke, there's fire. John McCain said that this was a threat to the very fabric of democracy. What do you have to say about that, Bertha Lewis?
actually John McCain and the Republican Party and the far right are the threat to democracy, and they are actually tearing the threads apart. Let me tell you, anyone who's ever done voter registration knows you must turn in each and every card. Never, ever, ever has anyone ever voted and fraudulently because of being registered by Acorn. In fact, what they don't tell you is for every single person that was prosecuted, we were the ones that turned them in. We were the ones that cooperated with the authorities. It is stupid to believe that we would want to register people so that they could vote and then put in a bunch of phony cards. In fact, it was Acorn that sounded the alarm and ripped off the cover of voter suppression, in which RNC officials and Republicans were convicted. Those were the only people who were ever convicted of doing anything with voting fraudulently. But here's the bigger thing.
Yeah.
And here's the point that I think your listeners would probably agree with. Acorn or any other organization should not have to do voter registration. In this great democracy, don't you think that if we want everyone to have a chance to participate, that if we had universal registration, you turn 18, you're a citizen of this country, you should be automatically registered by the government, this democratic government, constitution.
You're talking about a public option in our elections, Bertha Lewis?
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. We give people birth certificates. We give them driver's licenses. If you want people to participate, and the greatest activity they could do it as an American, get third parties out of the business of registering folks. We think that Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everyone should demand that there be universal registration.
Okay, then if you guys were, and I agree because I've looked into this over and over, through and through, there is not, as you said, not a single instance of any vote being fraudulently cast vis-a-vis an improper Acorn registration ever anywhere.
Every investigation has vindicated us, and in fact, if people remember Alberto Gonzalez, who was removed, that all started because Karl Rove sent him after us to try to trump up or prove that we were doing voter registration.
That's right. The whole U.S. attorney purge, the whole U.S. attorney purge was built on this. But now why then did not you sue Fox News when you had guys like Dick Morris showing up calling you a criminal organization saying your sole purpose was to commit voter fraud, Bertha Lewis? Why didn't you sue? I saw this just last week on CNN, this idiot Drew Griffin who repeated the same nonsense. Why weren't you proactive to do something about these people?
Well, first of all, let me just say about CNN and Fox News. I heard you mention New York Times earlier. Believe me, CNN did the same thing as the New York Times, swallowed whole anything that Fox News put out. And Drew Griffin is one of the worst. And, you know, he'll just perpetuate a lie. They should be real investigative reporting. And I would say that your listeners, they need to bombard CNN so that they get it right, and they need to also bombard Fox News. But it's easier said than done to go around suing someone. Part of the reason that we had so many financial problems was not only was funding cut off and then people rushed to judgment, but if you spend your days and nights paying lawyers, doing depositions.
I know. I hear you. Hang on, Bertha. I got to get to a hard break here. My apologies. You can stick with us, right?
That's okay.
All right. Don't waste your time with Fox News, folks. Go after CNN and New York Times. Fox is going to lie anyway. Nothing you can do about it. we're talking to Bertha Lewis. Brad in for Malike, for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
I feel free.
Welcome back to the Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. And we're speaking with Bertha Lewis about the witch hunt, the acorn witch hunt that took this organization down, or did it? It was a phony acorn, a phony witch hunt from the get. It was Republicans who can't stand the fact that low and middle income people might get to participate in their own democracy by voting legally. All right, when we went to a break, Bertha Lewis, we were talking about the reason you said that you did not go after some of these folks like Fox News and so forth was because of the cost of the lawsuits, the suits you had to defend against and so forth. But I would argue, and I would ask you also about, you know, why there was not suits filed against O'Keefe and Giles and Breitbart, where they clearly violated the law. I know that's a big cost, but look at the cost now. You guys have been knocked out of business. At least your local chapters are shuttered, closed down as of first of this month.
Well, it ain't over until the fat lady sings. Yes, we've been, you know, we have been hurt. I do think that this is an object lesson for everyone in this country. We were the canary in the mine. They came after us in very vicious ways, and we've seen now what has been happening with this Tea Party movement, what's been happening with the very vicious and just really uncivil way in which political debate is being conducted in this country. The fact of the matter is they lost. They didn't like to lose. And when you go up against corporate America, you go up against some of the most rich and powerful people in this country, which Acorn did, and I don't think it was just because we registered folks to vote and moved them to the polls. I mean, we've been going after some pretty powerful people for 40 years. But here's the thing. We have asked law enforcement across the country to go after O'Keefe and Giles, especially because they broke the law. You know, it was the same law that was broken in the Monica Lewinsky case.
Secret wiretapping. But why
exactly.
in Maryland, Bertha Lewis, you had a lawsuit. What happened out there?
We've not been able to get the authorities to do one thing, not one thing. And this is also what should be of concern to folks.
Okay, well,
when people break the law against you, the first thing that has to happen is we've had all of these people come after us, never any criminal charges, never any findings of anything criminal that we've done.
Okay.
When O'Keefe did this blatantly, we cannot get the authorities to prosecute.
Well, Bertha, and by the way, if you're on hold with the question, I'm going to try to get to everybody. So those folks on hold at 877-520-1150. Hang in there. I'm going to try to get to everybody. There was a lawsuit in Maryland that was filed, but then you guys apparently failed to serve Andy Breitbart and James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. Here was a chance for you to have some accountability. What happened? Why did you not serve them in that lawsuit?
Well, we still have until September to do that, but guess what?
What?
Part of the attacks on us is we were a money-making machine. Right now, Andrew Breitbart and Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe, they have over a $2 million war chest that they have bragged about that they're going to use to discover us to death, to crush us with all kinds of legal maneuverings. $2 million in their war chest already. Unfortunately, we don't have those kinds of resources. We just can't do it. And the other thing is, we actually have work to do. Even though we've had to shutter our local offices and allow our local chapters to go their own way because they want to keep doing the work that we've been doing for 40 years. So you make a choice. You make a choice to be responsible, to spend your money in a responsible way, serving low and moderate income folks. If we had $5 million to spend on lawsuits defending ourselves, that would be great. But the fact of the matter is, we don't.
Well, I believe in accountability. I believe these guys need to be held responsible. Your funding was lost because of this hit job. Something needs to be done, and I suspect some money could be raised if you said, hey, this is it. We're going after the bad guys, the folks who came after us, the Andy Breitbarts, the phony pimps, those liars. I suspect you could raise plenty of money to have a lawsuit against Dick Morris, who lied about you and called you a criminal organization. Let me get to some calls here, Bertha Lewis. Let me get to Art. Art in D.C. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Hi, Brad. This is Art Levine. I covered Acorn a few years ago, for American Prospect.
You did. A great, great reporter, Art
and
Levine. Thanks for calling.
I have a question for Bertha, which is two-part. One is, in the initial weeks of the firestorm, did you effectively get out to both the progressive media and the mainstream media that your staffers filed police reports about that, the illegal propositioning that, you know, allegedly happened? That's the first question. And then the second is, where was the progressive media before the mainstream media picked up, not counting Brad, where was the progressive media in coming to your defense, or progressive organizations, in those weeks when you were being smeared in those early weeks?
Great questions. Bertha, want to take a shot?
Well, I do have to say, you know, from the very beginning, when we first started to be attacked on the voter registration, we put out report after report, real facts, to the progressive media, to anyone that we possibly could. Believe you me, in September, when those tapes came out, we did our own analysis. We were trying to get people to understand that this is not what you think that you see.
Then why did you, Bertha, then why did you fire those folks? Why did you fire those employees?
And let me go back to that.
Okay.
Number one, when I took over in June of 2008, when I took over, we were already under attack, and everyone was held to a higher standard. Everyone was on high alert. And we had a process that we followed. There was protocols that we followed. And those folks, even though they didn't do anything wrong on those tapes, those folks broke that protocol. And I had fired many people throughout the organization because I wanted to make sure that we were solid and that we were doing what we needed to do to have good governance and good structure. So internally, those folks did not meet the protocol, and that is why they were terminated.
Okay,
right
well, then let me ask you about the police report. Hang on.
And we tried. We published the police reports. We constantly were trying to get anyone that we could just to listen to us. In fact, we were trying to get people to understand that these folks never came in those costumes.
One of those people, Bertha Lewis,
couldn't get that through.
Yeah, no, you couldn't. And I know, and of course the media wasn't interested in that story, but Juan Carlos Vera, the fellow out here in San Diego, the employee who, as we saw last night on Rachel Maddow's show, she finally covered this. She played some of the unedited videos that Giles and O'Keefe finally turned over, and it shows him trying to gather information, which the Attorney General now says he wanted to gather so he could contact his cousin, who was a detective, and file that police report. But yet he was fired. So what protocol did he violate that led him to be fired?
It was never even reported to us internally that an incident like that had occurred. However, let me just say that some of the employees have been reinstated, and they've gone through training, and they've been cooperating with these investigations, so they were off staff during that time. But let me just say, once again, very high standards here. And when folks don't report things that they shouldn't, that's our internal discipline. But the bigger point is this. We said at the time that he reported it to his cousin. We said at the time that we put these police reports in. And there was just this wall that we couldn't get around.
Well, I hope that Juan Carlos Vera and the other three, I think it was, the three total ACORN employees out here in California, Governor, not Governor, AG Jerry Brown, formerly governor, maybe future governor, he has said in his report that those workers have every right to sue, to take civil action against these guys. They did, in fact, violate, I think it's Penal Code 632, I'm told from Ernie Canning, an attorney who works at bradblog.com, writes for us. I hope they will take up lawsuits, and if a collection needs to be taken for them, I suspect we could get something, some support there. Art, did Bertha answer your question?
Well, one staffer in Pennsylvania did file a suit, and so she worked for a housing corporation.
Right.
But there's one suit that is already winding its way through, and let me remind your listeners that ACORN versus the United States of America, we actually do have a suit going through court because the Defund ACORN Act was unconstitutional. It is a bill of attainder because you cannot name or single out any one organization or group or individual. So that is a case that we think is far more important. But we do have one of the employees that has brought a case in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I have the second part of my question.
Yeah,
was
go ahead.
How, from your perspective, Bertha, in the middle of the firestorm of negative publicity, which is when perceptions are set, how do you feel the progressive media and other liberal groups responded to the attacks that you were facing, and it seems to me they were not very active compared to the attacks you were facing during the McCain attacks on your voter registration. I wanted to get your perception on that.
Well, we certainly would have loved it if people would have mobilized and stood up and saw this as an attack on the entire progressive movement. I think we took a lot of slings and arrows for a lot of folks. We did have support. We had some letters that were in, but there was no real mass mobilization. And I do think for, you know, and I have to say, it's not that I'm ungrateful for the support that we got, because people did go online to contribute to us and really helped us to get through. But I do think, again, this was we were the canary in the mine, and it was just like the McCarthy era. People were subdued. People did not rally and really mobilize and see that an attack on ACORN was an attack on them.
I got to get out.
Clinical.
I got to get to a break here. Bertha Lewis, thanks, Art, for that question. I appreciate it. More on that. And with Bertha Lewis coming up right after this break. And what about ACORN? Is it going away for good? We'll find out. Friedman back on the Malloy program, speaking with Bertha Lewis, CEO and chief organizer of the of ACORN, about the once and maybe future ACORN. New York Times reported, where was it, last weekend, an interesting report. They were talking about the future of ACORN, and Ian Urbina notably, apparently they lost their pimp. New York Times reported ACORN has faced a drastic drop in federal money and foundation support after a video sting was publicized last fall. In at least one of the undercover videos, ACORN employees were shown advising a young conservative activist who posed as a prostitute And that's normally where they say, and pimp. But they didn't, who posed as a prostitute, how to conceal her criminal activities in the course of trying to buy a house. They dropped the pimp. New York Times lost their pimp. Are they tacitly agreeing they got it wrong? Well, they did get it wrong. So where's the correction? Where's the apology? Where is the retractions for the damage that they done? And folks, if you're on hold, we're going to try to get to everybody here. So Bertha Lewis, the government legislated, they defunded you. Democrats shamelessly, I think it was 172 Democrats, shamelessly voted to defund your organization. That was has since been found to be unconstitutional by a federal judge.
Twice
now, right? And Ernie Canning, an attorney out here, asks in the chat room, what's the status of that? Has the government appealed that case? And give me your answers quick, because I want to get to as much as I can.
What they did was they tried to get a stay. That was denied, so they rushed to the Second Circuit, and they filed a notice of appeal.
They are appealing that decision. Unbelievable. Okay. And let me get to a caller here real quick. Going to try to do a whole bunch at once. There we go. Lou Wapdefer from the Great Northeast. Welcome to the Malloy Program.
Hey, Brad. Good to talk with you.
Great to talk to you. Appreciate you calling in. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about a couple of things.
Make them quick because we're coming to the top of the hour. Sorry.
Okay. One is what sort of timeline does Bertha believe was involved in the first attacks against Acorn, including Karl Rove's voter fraud that morphed into the O'Keefe Breitbart stuff?
This has been going on since the year 2000. When Bush and Cheney stole the election in Florida.
Okay, 2000. That's what I thought. Okay. Because what that does, you've got, I believe, and I think any attorneys listening would understand, a great case for getting damages from the deep pockets that are behind these attacks. There's, I mean, I see that just Breitbart, O'Keefe, and Giles have fraudulently misrepresented themselves with the ultimate intention to put Acorn out of business, and they succeeded in the end. I mean, in effect, in the states where, you know, you've divorced a lot of the businesses.
I gotta get to a break, so I want to get an answer for you, Lou Wapdefer.
Well, thanks. Go to www.acorn.org, and any help that you can give us legally, please go to our website again, and we would be more than happy to have any kind of legal help that we can get.
That's at www.acorn.org, correct?
Yes.
So pro bono attorneys would be useful here.
Absolutely.
Funding would be useful here. Democrats, how do you explain? Oh, boy. Let me ask you, Bertha, are you able to stick over the top of the hour just
sure.
for a few more questions? We've got a couple of more callers. I have some questions that I want to get to. Let me ask you this, and then we'll ask you right at the top of the hour about the future of Acorn. But how do you explain 172 Democrats who voted in favor of the Defund Acorn Act and Obama who signed it? I thought you had them in your pocket. What happened? You got,
got
10 seconds to answer.
Don't believe everything that you read or you see on Fox News. Look, we've challenged Democrats. We've challenged Republicans for years. I think it was a cost analysis. I think those videos were prurient. People rushed to judgment. They had the health care to do, and I guess they figured, well, listen, we're not going to get into this. Acorn's expendable, so let's just go ahead. We fought that off four times before that, but as one of them said to me, oh, those videos were just a bridge too far.
If they keep throwing under the bus these expendable people, like hundreds of thousands of folks at Acorn, Van Jones, and everyone else, they're going to run out of people who are expendable. Bertha Lewis, she's going to stick with us for just a few more minutes to hit your calls and find out if Acorn will continue to live another day. Brad, in for Malloy, stay with us. right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We'll be here the rest of the week. Get used to it. Mike Malloy will be back following spring break next Monday. We're speaking in the last hour with Bertha Lewis. And well, where's my notes here? With Bertha Lewis, CEO and chief organizer of Acorn, which, no, it ain't dead yet. She was kind enough to hang around for just a few more minutes. Wanted to get in one more call and another question or two that I had. I had planned the whole hour for open lines, so it was going to be Ask Brad. Ask me whatever you want, and I will either answer it or I won't. There is some breaking news that I want to just give you real quickly here. There was a supposed disturbance on a United flight 663. Two fighter jets intercepted the plane going to, going to Denver. And there are emergency crews at the Denver International Airport right now. They say that someone tried to light a device. I think we don't know any more than that. Was it a Qatari diplomat? I think it was from Qatar or Gutter, however you want to say it. We'll see what comes of that. Boy, every time I'm on the air, somebody's lighting something on fire on a plane. But I ain't scared. All right, Bertha Lewis, real quick, tell us, I want to hit one more call here in a second, but give me the future of Acorn. Everybody assumes you're out of business, you're done, you put out a statement, you're shuttering your doors April 1. That's it, no more Acorn, no more voter registration. Unfortunately, it's over, correct?
Not exactly. We've shut down our local offices because we could not support them nationally. Our board is looking at our bills and our finances. How can we survive? Should we survive? You know, so we are going to look at everything and try to do this responsibly in the coming months. Now, people right now will still hear from us on the web. They'll still hear from us on media. They'll still hear from us in the mail. But we are really hurting. I mean, I am not going to try to sugarcoat this, and it is pretty bleak. And so without resources, we will have to shutter the national organization. But we're hanging on by a thread right now, but we have to continue to fight. And so in the coming months, it will determine our fate as far as what Acorn will look like. But we won't look like we did before. We really will not have the field offices that we had before.
Well,
Acorn will drastically change, absolutely.
But National Acorn, as of now, is still surviving, is still going to try to survive, if I understand you correctly. And people can help at acorn.org.
Yes. Yes.
Folks, you gotta counter the noise machine, the hate machine, the anti-democracy machine. Get on over to acorn.org. If you got a few dollars, help them out. If you're an attorney, there's a contact page, Bertha, where someone can contact you?
Right. They can log into us, and we will respond to them if they email into the acorn.org. It's info@acorn.org, and we will get back to them. Any help that people can provide us, please. This is very, very serious. And again, this is an object lesson for other groups and other individuals. If they come for Acorn in the morning, they could come for you at night.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what this, to me, has always been about. Of course, I think you guys do a tremendous service, but it is about the hit job, and it needs to stop, and the media needs to come clean on it. And you can help out at acorn.org. You can send email to info@acorn.org. They can use attorneys. Luoptfer, by the way, called back in to say that you might be able to entice attorneys with RICO damages, which are apparently treble damages, tripled. So, you know, come on in and, you know, let's push back. Stop rolling over. Stop throwing people under the bus. And I would note before I get to this last call, Bertha, it's interesting because a lot of the services you guys provided, ironically enough, if you're out of business, I suspect a lot of this is going to actually have to go back to the taxpayer dollar and the government covering some of these services. Would that be correct?
Well, you know, it's one thing to say that you heard an organization, but our organization is full of people who've been organizing for 40 years.
Yeah.
What you really do is you hurt poor people, black and brown people and poor white working people in this country who tens of thousands can't get these services. So that's who you're really hurting. And quite frankly, the money that they've spent on investigations, on, you know, this bill of attainder, on all of the stuff that they've done to harass us, they've cost the taxpayers more than Acorn ever got in its entire history.
Yep.
So there you have.
There you have it.
A cost analysis of the politics of hate.
All right. Dave in Chicago, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Oh,
Hi, guys.
As I understand it,
these court cases were dismissed with prejudice. Am I correct on that?
Actually, I screwed up. We're going to get Bertha back. I knocked her offline accidentally. So were the court cases dismissed with prejudice? Which ones?
All of them, as I understand. All of this, all of the problems that Acorn was having, it was dismissed with prejudice. That means you got one ticked off judge saying, get this court case the hell out of my court. You're wasting my time. You're wasting everybody's time. This thing should have never been brought into my court.
All right.
That's her story.
Hang on, Dave. I got to put you on hold to get Bertha back on here. So hang on one quick sec, okay?
Yeah.
All right. See, that's what happens when you bring in the fill-in guy. He doesn't know how to hit the buttons. We're going to get Bertha back in a second. But I do need to underscore, folks, one of the problems that I've had is that the bad guys, we know the bad guys are going to be bad. There's no question about it. We expect our media to stop the bad guys. But they stopped stopping the bad guys. They started enabling the bad guys. And for all of that progressive media that is out there on the web, the blog sites, the MSNBC, folks, they haven't showed up. They shied away from this one. They rolled over. The Democrats looked the other way. They allowed this. Let me put it another way. You allowed this to happen. You have to make good on it now. You got to either help Acorn or you got to drop an email to executive-editor@nytimes.com and ask them to correct the record. This record, this democracy, it's not going to correct itself. It's not going to save itself. It is up to you to take action. Okay, now I'm going to try to Bertha. I think we've got her back. Bertha, do we have you back?
Yes, you did.
All right, sorry about that. My fault. I don't know how these phones work. I'm a yutz. All right, let me get to Dave. Go ahead, Dave. Give us that question very quickly again.
Yes, so Bertha, as I understand it, these court cases were dismissed with prejudice, quote, right?
And you're talking about the court cases, these voter fraud cases and so forth,
right,
Dave?
The voter fraud cases were dismissed with prejudice, right?
Is that correct?
We're totally vindicated. And each and every time, nothing found. I don't know what with prejudice means, but I know that we were totally vindicated.
Okay.
But vindication doesn't pay the bills.
Okay, Dave, clarify.
I'm trying to get through to her. You go round and round with these meticulous explanations. Your whole crux of the story, if you were to invest in a think tank that would tell you exactly how to explain it to people, these cases were dismissed with prejudice. That means the judge is ticked off and he's throwing it out of court and saying, don't ever bring a case like this into my courtroom again. You're wasting my time. You're wasting everybody's time. This should have never been brought in here. And that's what you say. Boom, you go in to say it. You're going
to a radio show.
Boom, you're done.
Are you an attorney, Dave?
No, I read stories, and it's the crux of the whole story.
They need attorneys. Well, they need money. I got to run, Dave.
Later.
Thanks for your call. I hear you, brother.
Thank Dave for that tip.
All right. Thank you, Dave, very much. And Bertha, thank you for hanging in there and for fighting the good fight, for sticking with us longer here tonight. I know it's real late on the East Coast. I really do appreciate it. Please stay in touch. If the rest of the media, even the progressive media, won't do what's right, we'll try to do what's right at Brad Blog. Let us know how we can help, okay?
Well, just keep following us for the near future, and I want to thank all your listeners, and go to www.acorn.org, and thank you, Brad.
You bet. Thank you, Bertha. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Acorn.org. You heard it, folks. This democracy ain't going to save itself. I've said it over and over again. Got folks on the line. I'm going to take your calls momentarily when we come back from this break. And then you can ask me any damn thing you want. Ask Brad. I'm going to go around. No, don't worry, Tony. Tony's freaking out. That one little phone incident, and now you're just, everything's falling apart, isn't it? It's all fine. Ask me anything you want, and I will either answer it or I will not. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Stop by the chat room, bradblog.com. I got to do that myself. I haven't been able to keep my eye on it. And, Twitter me. Follow us and Twitter us at the Brad Blog. Okay, that's it, Tone. Can I get out now? You sure? You want me to stall now? Now you want me to stall, don't you? You see? Don't ever let the fill-in host come in here and screw up the whole show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I promise you much more straight ahead. Stay with us.
And dream. I dreamed I was in a Hollywood movie, that I was the star of the movie. This really blew my mind, the fact that me, an overfed, long-haired leaper.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, fighting the good fight here along with you on the Mike Malloy Show for the rest of the week. Glad you're with us. Mike is going to be back with you on Monday. We are taking your calls now in my newest segment that I call Ask Brad. Ask me anything you want, and I will either answer it or I will not. The phone number is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. You can tweet us at the Brad Blog, and you can stop by the chat room, which I've been having trouble keeping my eyes on. I apologize over at bradblog.com, but it seems like a very, very lively conversation. Let's get to some of these callers. I know that Stephen in Burbank has been holding quite a while. I appreciate that, Stephen. Welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hello, Brad. I can't help but give a shout-out to Dave from Chicago. We kind of know each other through Dave Marsh, Land of Hopes and Dreams, on Series 146. It's 11 to 2 Pacific time. But anyway, what I called about was I'm in the Burbank Democratic Club, and I was registering voters, and a Republican woman comes up to me and says, like, can I vote for Jerry Brown? You know, do I have to be a registered Democrat to vote for Jerry Brown in the general election? You following me on this?
So she really thought that was, she would have to
after hearing what Bertha had to say, well, since I'm a dense brain, my subconscious, little warning lights went off. So I explained to her, look, there are the primaries, and there are the general. You know, and I could have taken like $4 or $5 for the Burbank Democratic Club, but I didn't. I was an honest good guy. And so I think Bertha would be proud of me. And this woman might have been like James O'Keefe. You know, maybe I was being recorded. Oh, yeah, you have to be a registered Democrat to vote for Jerry Brown in the general election. So all Democrats were under attack, you know.
Yeah, you are. And you know what? Out here in California, the only ones to go to jail for voter registration fraud is the guy the GOP's firm, Mark Anthony Jacoby, young political majors, he actually pled guilty to voter registration fraud, and it seems as though he switched potentially thousands of registrations from Democratic to Republican. So there, you know, a lot of these folks went to the primaries in 08 and had a little surprise when they were no longer able to vote Democratic.
It happens. Can I ask you a question now?
Very quickly.
Last time you were on, I tried to call, but I'm on a rotary phone. Can I prove it? Will you allow me to prove I'm on a rotary phone?
No, I will not.
Oh, gee.
Thank you, though, for that question. I appreciate it, Steve.
Uh-huh. Can't have everything.
hang on to that rotary phone. All right. Let's get to who do we got here? Lee in Los Angeles. Wait, did I do it right? Nope. There we go.
Yeah,
Lee.
How you doing, sir? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Lee?
Pretty good. You know what I was wondering?
What's that?
Why don't we organize, you know, Democrats or progressives,
yeah,
and organize protests and marches against these news organizations that show bias,
yep,
one way, you know, like Fox News, like the,
yep,
Times. Just organize a march on them.
Yep. Now we're talking, Lee. You are in charge, sir. Let's have that march because they are the problem, and I appreciate that call, Lee. Thanks. They are the problem. The media are the problem. These are the folks we need to target. I'll say it over and over, but it needs to be said. The bad guys are bad. We know they're going to be bad. We know the James O'Keefes, the Hannah Giles, the Andrew Breitbarts are going to lie and lie and lie and scam the media and play their partisan agenda, but we expect the media to stand up to them and to correct the record, and they ain't doing it. Progressives, Democrats, liberals, stop worrying about Fox News. Stop worrying about the liars. Start worrying about the people who are supposed to be telling you the truth. Start worrying about the New York Times, because they ain't telling you the truth. They have covered up for this Acorn pimp hoax for their own errors. Not errors, their own misreporting. Check it out at bradblog.com. We got the paper trail. So, yes, take it to the media. New York Times wasn't the only one. It happened all over the country. But I can't answer every single one of them. You got to read your local papers. When you see that they posed as a pimp and prostitute, no, they didn't. Contact them. I've got a story at Bradblog called, No, New York Times, he didn't pose as a pimp either. Point them over to that. Get those corrections. Start those marches. The media is your problem, not James O'Keefe. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. More straight ahead, 877-520-1150. It's the Ask Brad segment. We'll be right back with much more. All right, we got an update on this story of this Qatari diplomat. It's a breaking news. We've got an update, right? Yeah, he was. They shut down this flight coming from Washington to Denver. Now we know what it is. What was it? Uh huh. He was smoking in the boys' room, according to an AP source. Man on flight possibly sneaking smoke. We have shut down air traffic from coast to coast to avoid this threat. Apparently, a Qatari diplomat trying to sneak a smoke in the airplane bathroom sparked a bomb scare Wednesday night on a flight from Washington to Denver. Man, are we a bunch of cowards in this country or what? Last time I was sitting in for Malloy... over Christmas, we had the underwear bomber. Oh, man, what a bunch of cowards. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Taking your thoughts, your questions on anything you want to talk about. As long as you phrase it in the form of a question. How's that? And then I will either answer it or I will not. 877-520-1150. Let's finish up here as we were talking about Acorn for the last 2 hours and the phony hit job that was done on them and the progressives who sat around and let it happen. Jay from North Dakota, welcome to the Mike Malloy. Where are you in North Dakota, Jay?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of my 380-mile commute from my job.
Gotcha.
I just passed through Devil's Lake, so I actually am from Minnesota. But the economy's so wonderful here, I have to go out and work in the oil fields to support my family.
Oh, brother.
So, but, you know, pays the bills. But
yep.
My question is, you know, I'm fascinated with your story on Acorn, and it happens all the time in this country. The media seems to get a lot of things wrong. And it's unfortunate. What I understood her to say was that They just didn't have the financial resources to be able to fight this garbage.
Right.
And I hate to see other organizations or individuals get acorn. Is there any ideas or any thoughts that you would have on how an average guy like me could maybe start some kind of a defense fund?
Mm.
That would be...
Did I drop him? Did I lose you, Dor? I did. I'm sorry. I lost you out there in the middle of your 300-mile commute. My apologies. How can you start a defense fund? Hope he's able to listen here and drive safely, by the way. Acorn.org. I know they need donations. They need help. If only there was a community organizing group that could get together and figure out how to save Acorn. There should be a defense fund. I know Hannah Giles sent out a beautiful little purple and pink note to all of her supporters, raised millions of dollars to defend herself in these cases. And as Bertha Lewis pointed out, you know, they've got the money. The folks on the right, they cough up the money for these things. Progressives do not. Let's see if anybody shows up over at Acorn tonight, throws a few dollars their way. We've got plenty of comment threads at bradblog.com. If you want to get together, if you want to organize, we can try to help facilitate that. There's plenty of websites out there. DU, you folks out there, you've been following this story. I've been carrying my coverage over there. I don't know how many 50, 70 stories I've run on this in just the past few months. Organize. Take it into your own hands. Make something happen. I really think that, for all you want to say about the teabaggers out there, how disinformed they are, how misinformed they are, how crazy they are, how stupid they are, and they're not all stupid, but they are incredibly misinformed. But guess what? They show up. And they make noise, and they open their pocketbooks. And by the way, I do, don't hit me with calls that progressives show up too, because I know they do. They show up in far greater numbers than these wing nuts and teabaggers do. But who doesn't cover them? The media. Again, it comes back to the media. It is always the media, which is why, I do love the idea of a march. How about a march on the New York Times? That's actually not a bad idea. New York Times would then have to report that there was a march on the New York Times. They would then have to report why there was a march on the New York Times. You would have to, they would have to make clear that it was because you objected to the fact that they reported over and over and over that James O'Keefe posed as a pimp, dressed as a pimp, represented himself as a pimp when he never did. Anybody out there in New York game? Want to take up the cause? The democracy needs ya. It really does. 877-520-1150. It's the Ask Brad segment. Anything you want to ask me, I will either answer it or I won't. But these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them, as I like to say. Marcy is calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, speaking of Marcy, by the way, Marcy Wheeler is going to be joining us tomorrow night from Empty Wheel, talking about, accountability. You are not going to want to miss that. Hope you'll join us for that, Marcy Wheeler, and also Kate Shepard from Mother Jones. We're going to be asking what the hell is going on with Obama and this offshore drilling nonsense and these coal mine disasters and CEOs who break all the safety laws and everything else. Marcy, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Good evening, Brad.
Good evening.
I would like to get a progressive's perspective on a voluntary accurate response in the 2010 United States Census, whether or not we should participate and whether or not we should provide totally accurate and requested information.
Well, of course you should participate because if you want to be counted, if you want to have proper representation in Congress and everything else, of course you should participate. Now, but the second part of your question suggests that you should lie on the form in some fashion?
Oh, no, not necessarily. But, it asks, birth dates and exact years of residence. And
uh-huh.
I don't really see why it's necessary to provide a particular individual's birth date.
And why wouldn't you want to?
Well, I guess, the argument is that the government already has this information, but I just kind of feel hesitant to provide that information, all willy-nilly style.
All willy-nilly style? Are you a progressive yourself?
I would not identify myself as a progressive exactly, but I would definitely say that I'm on the left of the middle.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think you should most definitely fill it out. There is no question about that. You should send it in. And all I can tell you is they claim... they claim they've got all sorts of laws in place and to keep this information private. Your information, your birthday, your name is out there so far in so many people's hands at this point. I'm not sure what the fear would be of not just telling them the truth and using that. And hopefully they use that information to help better serve you as a government.
Absolutely, and that's actually the impression that I was under initially. And furthermore, I do believe it's 72 years before any specific information is released in a particular demographic, like
yeah.
specific information.
Yeah.
So if anybody else out there is wondering, just FYI.
Yeah, fill them in. But for all the right-wingers out there who've been listening to Michelle Bachmann and all of those and Glenn Beck and, you know, don't trust the government with this information, by all means, people, don't send them in. Don't get your proper representation. You folks down there in Texas, don't get the extra four seats you are probably due in the House of Representatives. Good Lord. Hey, thanks for the call, Marcy. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. She called me sir, Tony. She said, good evening. They're very polite up there in Madison, Wisconsin. Okay, this is the Ask Brad segment of the Mike Malloy Program, 877-520-1150. Do I get to a Brad? Oh, let me go to Marlon here. Marlon from Kentucky. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program. What's up, Marlon?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, was that your question?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, but I was thinking, I'm a member of Al Sharpton's network, National Action Network.
Yep.
And they get a lot of media play on Fox and all the other different networks.
Yeah.
And maybe we could link up with them and get the word out about the Acorn scandal.
Yeah.
And probably try to raise some funds for a defense fund. I think that would be effective.
I think it would be, too. How do you contact Al Sharpton and tell him he needs to step up and organize here?
Well, I don't have his number on hand, but I'm going to call his show tomorrow. But his website is nationalactionnetwork.net.
Nationalactionnetwork.net.
Right. And I'm actually going to call his show. His show comes on 12 to 3
yeah.
Central Time every Monday through Friday. I'm going to call his show tomorrow.
All right.
You can listen to it online, too. So I'm going to call his show tomorrow.
Okay.
And suggest it. So.
All right. And I'll look forward to that. And if you would like to discuss this matter, I have been covering it for months and years. I will be happy to come to cover it for him on Fox News, anywhere else. The truth needs to get out. We all need to get the word out.
Yeah, I'm going to go to your blog. It's my first time hearing you, so I'm going to go to your blog, too, and check you out, too.
Much appreciated, Marlon. Thanks for the call, and thanks for taking action, sir.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Let me go to a break. I'm going to come back and hit all this coming in from Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, he's going to be very polite as well, I bet. They're very polite in Madison. You heard, Marcy. Your opportunity to get onto the airwaves, 877-520-1150. 1150 is our phone number. It's the Ask Brad segment. Ask me about anything you want, including smoking in the boys' room. Breaking news! A guy was smoking in the boys' room on a plane. Alert the authorities. What a world we live in. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. You can also tweet us and follow us, by the way. All of this stuff that you're hearing tonight that you may not have heard before, you would have heard it if you were following me at The Brad Blog on Twitter or at bradblog.com. Much more straight ahead. Stick with us.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Last few minutes here on the Mike Malloy Program tonight. have been delighted to sit in for Mike and Kathy, who are enjoying some downtime. Much deserved. Mike will be back with you on Monday. I'll be back with you tomorrow with Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel, Kate Shepard of Mother Jones, and, of course, more of you on your public airwaves at 877-520-1150. I'll try to get in whoever comes in here at the last second, if I have time. My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino, of course. You rock, Tony, here at LA's K-Talk, AM 1150. Thanks for having me. Producer Desi Doyen, Jeannie Dean helping us out tonight for the first time at bradblog.com in the chat room. Of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit here. And for those listening via mikemalloy.com, please do stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid following this broadcast. Okay, I'm going to get to Aldous and AC and whoever else comes in here momentarily. But let's see, there's, in regard to what Marcy was asking about, report here today, yesterday, new data from the Census Bureau finds that conservative-leaning states have some of the lowest response rates to the census. Boo-hoo. Of course, they're not conservative. They're right-wing. But we'll get into that on another day when I've got an hour to rant about that. Stop calling them conservative, because they ain't. Almost 48% of households in Texas and 53% in Alabama have mailed in their forms so far, while the response rate in Massachusetts, a more liberal state, is at about 57%. Of course, conservatives, well, right-wingers, have in recent months demonized the census. Brilliant, guys. Yeah. keep up the bad work, jackasses. Let me get to Aldous here in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the program, Aldous.
Brad, I love what you do here, but I think you're falling into the very trap the right-wingers have set when it comes to the census.
Is that right?
They want right-wing communities to underreport because that means government won't work for them. It perpetuates this whole thing that government is bad.
So they'll have less government than they need, and that will then prove the case that government stinks, and then they'll be able to get rid of still more government. Is that what you're saying, Aldous?
Well, exactly. I mean, basically, what better way to make the argument that government cannot take care of the people, that it must be private, must be all this other libertarian crap? You know,
do you think that these
you underreport and then make sure that the government can't provide?
Do you think these right wingers are that smart?
No, I think very select rich idiots up there, actually maybe not idiots, but actually very select rich crafty people up there who want to be the ones in control of everything, the oligarchs. I think they're smart enough to try to perpetuate this.
And did they send this word out to Michelle Bachmann then to put out the word that the census is a big scam and they're going to throw you in internment camps and stuff?
Brad, Michelle listens to enough voices. Any one of them could have told her.
Okay. I appreciate your thoughts, Aldous. Everything well in Madison, right?
Oh, actually, we're sleeting right now. We're not
really?
Sure what the hell's up with that.
Oh, all right. Well, you said hell. You're not nearly as polite as Marcy. Thanks for the call, Aldous. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. There's all this talk, you know, Karl Rove, he's a genius, he's behind it all, he's doing this, he's super double-thinking us, everything. No, he's not. You know, it's just a bunch of knuckleheads going to Fox News. Fox News is reporting it, but here's the scam. Everyone else is reporting it, too. You know, it's not just Fox. It's CNN. It's MSNBC, Morning Joe, AP, all the rest. Progressives need to figure out, stop paying attention to these people. Stop giving them airtime. You know, I used to argue that we need to take the fight to them. And I did take the fight to them. I remember having a lot of criticism when I went on the air with Ann Coulter at some point, the debater, about some such a few years ago. You can look it up. The audio is over there at Brad Blog. Ran her off the air halfway through the show. And then, of course, later on, we found out that she committed voter fraud. Boy, I wish I had been on the air that day. Since then, she won't talk to me. But we ran her off the air. I think it was worth it to take the fight to them. At this point, it has gotten so insane. It has gotten so nuts that, you know, the real folks who need to be held accountable, frankly, are, as I said, the media and the Democrats, who are getting away with Obama has given approval to assassinate U.S. citizens? Really? Really? I suspect we'll be talking about that with Marcy Wheeler tomorrow night. Let me get to AC in St. Petersburg. Welcome to the Malloy program. We've got just about 30 seconds left, my friend.
I think that a bunch of us that were duped in this last election that worked hard for Obama, we need to come to our senses and admit,
how were you duped?
Oh, come on. He ran totally as a anti-establishment progressive. It wasn't just nuances and slick.
What?
I mean, the guy's not even, he's not even a third progressive as he campaigned
what,
as.
What campaign were you watching, AC? I saw him. Hang on.
Him.
AC, I saw him out there voting again, you know, in favor of a FISA immunity for the phone companies. I saw him out there calling for quote-unquote clean coal, for nuclear technology, for offshore drilling. What campaign were you looking at, AC?
I'm talking about what he promised us in the campaign before he became elected, not after he became president.
I'm talking
it's
about
a totally
I'm
different talk, person.
I'm talking about what he was doing before he became president, too. Very quickly,
Let me
10 seconds. What promise did he make that he hasn't followed up on? Real quick.
There's no excuse why we don't have a true public option without profit-driven insurance companies, and he didn't nuance around it. He made it clear. He said he wouldn't sign it unless it had a public option. That's number one.
He
and
did?
Number two.
Okay.
Huh?
I don't think he did, but go ahead.
Quick. Yes, he did.
Quick.
And the fact is, we need to come to the conclusion that we're being duped because there's really a 2-1 corporate party, and we need to admit that and deal with the reality that both the Democrats and Republicans are bought and paid for by the same oligarch wealthy people that own both parties.
Thanks,
and we need
AC.
To come to those terms to change it.
Thanks, AC. I appreciate it. No, we ain't being duped. We may be duping ourselves. What do you say we stop duping ourselves and tell the truth about what's really going on here? We'll be doing more of that tomorrow night here on the Mike Malloy Program. Thanks for joining us tonight. We hopefully will have some archives up at bradblog.com later. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Keep it lit.